You've been listening to Mentoring Matters, mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson. If you have a question for Rainey, Dave, or their guests, please call us now at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Mentoring Matters.
Welcome back, everyone, to Mentoring Matters. I'm Rainey Petrin, your host, along with my partner, David Carson, who joins us from the UK. And we're continuing our conversation this morning on the issue of matching and basically how to approach that. What are some of the issues to consider in doing matching? So, Dave, when we left, you were about to talk a little bit about the process of matching.
Talk about the process. At the moment, I want to talk about some of the tools that we have crafted over the years to assist people in matching. And, you know, we have some wonderful tools available for people. Really helps them focus on the matching process. And I think it eases the matching process as well. Let me just list some of the tools, first of all, Rennie. I think we've got the program descriptor. As I mentioned earlier, we discussed matching, we believe, really takes place. It really starts the whole process at the design of the program. The culmination of that design is our program descriptor, or sometimes organizations will call it the program handbook. And that lists the purpose of the program, the goal areas that they want to focus on, and the guidelines of the program.
And you know what, Dave? And it's in the, not to interrupt, but it's in the goals that are specified there that we get. We start the process of matching.
Absolutely. And that goal area transfers to some of the other tools that we use, which I'll come on to in a minute. But one of the good things about this program handbook is that once the match is made, people then focus on it. It's a tool to help people build the relationship. I mean, I think people could look at the program descriptor, Rennie, and say, well, it's a list of do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
Exactly.
It's a tool to help people to build the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think it falls into the same category as our communication styles.
Yes.
It helps people to discuss and really build the relationship and get it off to a good start. Now, one of the things that I know that some researchers are talking about is, can we help people to build relationships quicker? Now,
yeah,
we know, Rennie, that in business, time means money. You can't really afford to have mentors and mentorees getting together and getting nowhere fast.
Uh-huh.
Things have got to happen. And that program handbook that we help organizations to develop is a real recipe for success, I think, to get relationships up and running quickly.
Well, I think, you know, the point you bring up about, you know, starting the relationship faster also brings me, makes me think of another point, which is some people actually take that quite literally. And the way they think of making the relationship start faster is, again, you hurry up, put them together, and like, here you go, you've got, you're paired now, so start the relationship. Thinking
yep.
that it's going to make it faster. In other words, their view of faster is hurry up and let's get to the match. And they kind of resist or avoid the preparatory work that needs to be done ahead of time. The process that we're describing here this morning, that, you know, it takes time. Traditionally, and again, the audience may not be familiar with this, but traditionally for us to start from a beginning the design of the program to actually recruiting and doing the matching is roughly about 6 to 8 weeks.
That's right.
Because
yeah.
it takes time. And the meeting itself, where you sit down and match, takes usually about half a day or so to do the matching
yeah.
for about 15 to 20 pairs.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. You know? So, go ahead.
I was going to say, without these tools, it would take a lot longer, I think, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Know?
Well, and if it did take a lot longer, because people are doing it to avoid taking the time, you end up with really bad matches. And
absolutely.
You end up with a lot of matches that fail. And,
yeah.
you know, and I've mentioned this several times in our shows, but and I'm rather proud of it, as I know you are, which is, again, in our programs, we get a 90% success rate with matches.
And that stood the test of time. I know for
yep.
a fact, when in one of your programs in the States, you've had programs run more than once and still return the same sort of percentage, high percentage of retaining people on the programs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that if people are not getting those kinds of success rates, is they're missing pieces in the process or they're misunderstanding the whole point of the relationship.
Yes.
But you were talking about some of the tools.
So we've got the program handbook, which is right at the start of the program. Following that, we have our profile forms for the mentor and the mentoree. And what we're looking at here is linking up, in the first instance, some of the goal areas. So I'm a mentoree in the program. What am I interested in getting out of this program? So the program handbook gives me an idea of the sort of goal areas that are involved in the program. Now, of course, it's not exhaustive, but it does help bring a focus to the mentoring relationship.
And perhaps we ought to share with the audience what some of the goals might be. Like, for example, it might be leadership development.
It might be developing management skills. Diversity. Understanding how to navigate the culture of the organization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just to give the audience some examples of what we're referring to.
Yeah. And of course, depending on the organization, and we work across the board here, Rene, we've been into all sorts of organizations. Some of the areas in the goal areas might be quite specific to that organization. I mean, I remember working with a music company with yourself in New York City.
Yeah.
And some of the areas were very specific to record labels and music.
Yeah.
And electronics companies, they have different terminologies for things as well. So the profile form in the first instance would be asking the mentor and mentoree what sort of areas appeals to them in this program. And then we're looking at, I would say, the word style. Maybe you've got another word for it, Rene. What sort of mentor is the mentoree looking for, and vice versa?
I want to see what the characteristics or qualities are looking for in each other.
That's right.
That's what we're looking at. You know, and I think that I know we have a set of questions that we ask, kind of a forced choice set of questions, like, you know, do you want a mentor who tends to be a lot more experienced versus someone who's a lot more of an expert who may not have much experience? Which of those would you prefer? And forcing people to make some choices.
That's right. And I know some of the other questions will ask things like, are people any concerns about being in the program? The reason for taking part in the program at this particular
time? The motivation,
Yeah, and what else can they bring or they think they can bring to the program? And, you know, this is a lot of information. Now, some organizations will then go on to interview participants.
Yeah, before we get to the interview, I want to point out to the audience that the purpose of a profile form is really twofold. One is, to the point that I quoted the article about knowledge and, you know, the mentor having knowledge and so forth, part of it is, where's the knowledge, what's the area of focus? That really deals with knowledge and skill aspects. Then the second set of questions really deal with more person-to-person, the kind of quality, the characteristics. And both of those two things are always part of the matching process.
Absolutely, yeah. And that begins to paint a picture of the candidates for the program. The other thing I would point out here, Rene, and this comes up time and time again, is there a criteria for participating in this program?
Yes.
Because maybe the listeners are thinking, well, anyone can apply for this program. And in truth is, our programs are open to everyone. I think we should make that quite clear.
Yes.
But I think if you want to focus in your program, you need to look at the sort of criteria involved for becoming a mentor and a mentoree. And I think that also helps in the matching process because it focuses more clearly on the matching process rather than thinking, should this person be in the program in the first place?
Yes, I think that's correct. The criteria help to, you know, it's very nice for a company to say we want everybody to be involved in the process, but again, that presumes that everybody's ready or in need of or wants to have a mentor or wants to mentor. And I think the criteria help, you know, to get people to pool that are motivated and need to be there based upon the program guidelines. For example, one of the criteria that, you know, we always recommend you have is that this may seem like common sense to people, but, you know, that the mentee and the mentor both have to have at least to perform at a level that's satisfactory or higher.
Yes.
Now, people would say, well, that's kind of an obvious criteria. Well, it really isn't. I've gone into programs where people looked at mentoring as a remedial program. That if you needed help because you weren't making it on the job, well, let's give them a mentor, which is really a misuse of a whole mentoring relationship. So yes. It's really important to be clear about the criteria and have the right criteria for the program.
Yes. Yes.
That's a really important point there.
Good point, Rennie. And I mentioned the interview.
Yeah.
You know, people can look at profile forms and it tells a story, but I think you and I have found out that if an organization has the time and the resource to do the interview, it brings another perspective yet again to the matching, because you can read why someone wants to be on a program, but then when you ask the question face to face, sometimes things don't tie up. And I'm not sure if you've found that, Rennie, if you've had program managers allude to this.
Yes, I've sat at matching committees where we would be discussing an individual, whether mentor or mentee, who, you know, we really felt was not appropriate for the program. And that was discovered through the interview process. You can have people who decide to be mentors for what I would call political reasons. They're not really interested in mentoring. They're doing it because either they feel like they're supposed to, or they feel like it's the right thing to do for their career, as opposed to being interested in the individual they're mentoring.
Yeah.
And so the interview process is a very important component in the matching process.
Yes. And the other thing, Rennie, once the matches have been made, I think one of the other really important things that we have that we can allow our clients to use are the supporting documentation. And let's say a mentor who's applied for the program is not selected. There's a certain way of replying to that person, and we have all the support documentation to support that.
Absolutely.
I think we might talk about that later.
Absolutely. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation and our final segment on making good matches.